You know, when there's no intro music, it's about to get spicy. Now, I'm still contemplating how I should come at you during this episode or during this rant. Should I come with the Ruach of Love or should I come with a rod? We will see. But first, a couple announcements. If any of you sisters who are struggling in this walk, trying to find something a little softer for your Ruach or softer for your ears, because I admit I can come on too strong. And for my Akis who are dealing with women who are fighting against your headship, fighting against your Yah-given leadership role, I offer you a solution or an option. There is a sister on YouTube. Her page is called Scriptures with Susanna. I think it's perfect for you young sisters, for you young couples, and for you Akis, my Maleks, that are struggling with trying to lead your woman softly, with compassion and with empathy. I know it's hard for us because most of us are alpha males and we come on too strong and we're very cut and dry, black and white when it comes to leading our households, and sometimes we can forget to be compassionate and soft. I struggle with that myself. And the reason why I'm offering you this YouTube page, because this woman, this sister has helped me out immensely with trying to help me smooth out edges in my household. We have to remember that we are dealing with women who coming out of unrighteous relationships, coming out of this world, and they just need more patience, they need more time, and they need more compassion and love and softening of how to be a woman in a Yah-led relationship. So this sister breaks down scriptures specifically for women. It's all for women. So when I say that, I do not want you brothers going over to that YouTube page and start lining it up with comments. She's married, and I get the perception that her man do not want all this fraternization of males in the comment sections of her post. This is strictly for women. Strictly for women. So turn your lady on to her page. Like I said before, she has helped me without having me even be in the room. Anytime there's a disagreement with me and my Ishai, my woman, she would watch Scriptures with Susanna. And the message would become clearer and clearer because it's coming from another woman who is in this truth and is also married. And sometimes you need that, just like it's mentioned in scripture, or Paul mentions it, that the elder women are supposed to keep the younger women in line, keep them secure within their own role as being a shy in the household. So sometimes I could come on too strong and say, well, this is not supposed to be done this way. We should do it this way. And I know how I sound. You guys know how I sound. I'm very, you know, to the point, very direct. And sometimes our women reject how we come at them because, like I said before, they come out of relationships where they've even been screamed at or abused or yelled at. You know, so we don't want triggers to be triggered when it comes to the truth. We want to be able to reach our woman in a way that she will respond positively. So that's why I'm offering you Sister Susanna. She takes a lot of accountability with her old life and her life now. And she goes down the line with it all, saying how she came from being disobedient, being loud, and now she's more submissive because this is the way Yah has ordained the household. So please go check her page out. If you're a woman struggling in this truth and you need a softer message, go check her page out. My Akis, if you have women that are now coming into the truth and you just don't know how to smooth those hard edges, you don't know how to soften your conversation, send her to Scriptures with Susanna. You will not regret it. Now, when it comes to all this calendar stuff, because like I said before, I asked you in the comment section to respond to why you did March, or why was March your starting point of the calendar. And I thank a lot of you brothers who really had the balls, had the heart to tell me why you did it. I applaud you. Not everybody can do this. Not everybody can admit. But the problem with that is, because we are in a 354 calendar, and even if you try to make a 354-day calendar out of March, you are still unaware that if the month behind it in February was a 30-day month or a 29-day month, because like I said before, to get to 354, the months would alternate from 29 to 30 days. So even if you started it at March, there is no guarantee you know behind it, if you count behind it, if it was 29 or 30. So what if it was 30 in February, and then you get to March, and it's another 30? You would be off. What happened if February was 29 days, and then you get to March, and it's 29 days? You would be off. And like I said before, we are talking about the Northern Hemisphere. Completely different from the Southern Hemisphere. So let me start off with Romans 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. Now let's go through the calendars that we kind of found, obeyed, and then left in the dust. There was Nick Vanderland's calendar, where he did the whole 364 solar calendar, where it starts in March. The problem with that is there is no new moon feast days. There is no new moon Shabbats. And the Shabbats, the weekly Shabbats, are on Sunday. It doesn't move. So he doesn't use the moon. He doesn't use the lunar. Then we had Become Set Apart. He started it with the 7-day creation story, but all the new moons he made into full moons, because he argued that if the Most High wanted to make a luminary and wanted us to see it, wouldn't he make it full for the starting month or the beginning of the month? Why would he make something or make a calendar with a new moon that you could barely see? So he's arguing with the Most High of how the Most High chose to do his luminaries. So he scrapped that. He scrapped Enoch 78 and said, all right, I'm going to make the beginning of the month the full moon. And when we go back and reread, this is how we were like, all right, this doesn't make sense. Because we're now trying to force 364 days. When in Enoch, it says that time will be shortened in the day of sinners. Then there was the Kodak calendar. I don't know if anybody uses it, but it was just a 13-month calendar. Some mathematician or some guy who needed it or wanted it for his businesses, he implemented it. I don't know if he implemented everywhere, but he implemented a 13-month calendar. Then we got the Zodiac calendar. The funny thing about that calendar is it starts in March, but to compensate for the 10 days that are missing, they call it an interclination week. They call it an interclination week, which means it's basically 10 days. After the last Shabbat in February, I think, there's 3 days that's unaccounted for. And then they say, let's make an interclination week, which is 7 days. So that's the 10 days of it being shortened. So they added just 10 days of nothing. It's just 10 days of nothing. No new moon, no Shabbats, nothing. It's just 10 days. And then after the 10 days, after this interclination week, then they start their calendar. I got to laugh because this, I'm not going to waste my time being pissed off at brothers because it's pure ignorance and high-mindedness and stiff-neckedness and hard-headedness that we truly do not want to see and understand the truth of what we're doing. We're just making it up as we go because we're trying to fit something in our ego and our pride. Brothers will not say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. I'm leading people down the wrong way. I was wrong. This is not scripture. I'm wrong. People scared to do that. And I said this before. Because people are now being famous and recognized for teaching scripture because of this awakening, brothers also do not know how to handle being wrong. Scared to be wrong, scared to be corrected, scared to say, you know what? We need to go a different route. I'm going to take this one on the chin because I was fooled. I did this because I'm used to being in public spaces with millions of people watching me, apologizing for my domestic violence issues and for me spitting on a woman in a club. The most vilest acts towards people, I stood up in front of a camera, millions watching, and apologized. Even though I kept doing it, I still apologized. So when I come into this awakening, I have no problems being able to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I led y'all down the wrong road with this Become Set Apart calendar. I'm sorry I led you guys down the wrong road with Nick Vanderland's calendar. I'm able to do that because this is all for righteousness' sake. This is all for Yah. This is not about me. It's all for Yah. If I stand corrected, I know the Most High is going to work with me, correct me, change me, and then exalt me. That's what I'm after. I know if he brings me down low and humbles me, I know it's all for his purpose. I'm not going to fight against his purpose. I may not understand it. I may even be frustrated with it. But at the end of the day, it's his purpose and his will. That's what renewing of your mind means. Not being conformed to this world. So I choose to accept taking it on the chin, renewing my mind, transforming it for the will, for it to be acceptable, for it to be perfect, for it to be good through Elohim, through Yahuwah. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as Elohim has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Mashiach, and everyone members one of another. Now, if I'm high-minded, haughty, arrogant, exalting myself, or a coward to the truth, I am not doing what is called me to do in the body of Mashiach. If I'm the leg, through my actions, I could possibly make it limp, where we cannot walk together. And that's what brothers are doing when it comes to this truth and not being humbled and not apologizing when they're wrong. You're causing the body infirmities. You're causing the body to have injuries. It may look like a pulled hamstring. It may look like an ACL tear. And the more we keep going with this, we make the body worse. So I'm going to stand up and basically start saying exactly who and what is doing it and what's wrong with it. And I don't really care the outcome of that. I've been giving people a lot of leeway when it comes to this type of stuff. Now I'm not doing it no more. Then brothers went to the Dead Sea Scroll calendar, the Assinian calendar. And I already covered this in multiple episodes. Again, they moved it to March to fit 364 days, and you threw out all the new moon Shabbats. This isn't scripture. I even gave you scriptures talking about all the new moon feast days, all the offerings that we should be doing. No one has mentioned it outside of me. Like I said, I'm not exalting myself. I'm just sharing what the Most High has exposed me to. And I feel that if I'm exposed to it and I have the Ruach HaKodesh, I want everyone to understand it. Romans 12:6-11, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. Exhortation means emphatically urging someone to do something. That's my place right now. Emphatically urging you to pay attention to the offerings that the Most High wants and desires. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Not slothful in business. Fervent in the Ruach, serving Yahuwah. Fervent means displaying a passion, intense passion for something. Serving Yahuwah. When the last time y'all did anything fervently? Was it for Yahuwah or was it for yourselves? Was it for your followers or was it for Yahuwah? Was it for your flesh or was it for the Ruach HaKodesh? So let me go again about this whole land thing. And this is not like a Gentile understanding. We know we are Israelites from the tribe of Yehuda. We are completely different from what Gentiles believe and think, especially those who have come into this walk and this journey with us, sojourning, as scripture says. I am not paying attention to, and I am not paying attention to the Northern Hemisphere. So this whole conversation or argument about March is obsolete to me. Because we have scriptures to go by. We have the examples. 1 Kings chapter 8, 47 and 48. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto you in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto you toward their land, which you gave unto their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. I'm talking about the wisest king, the wisest man that ever walked this earth. I'm going to listen to what he says. I'm not going to listen to Nick Vanderland. I'm not going to listen to the Zodiac. I'm not listening to the Essenians. I'm not listening to the Dead Sea Scrolls. I'm not listening to any of that garbage that y'all follow. I have the wisest king right here telling me that there's an importance about this land, that we need to turn ourselves, regardless of where we at in America, or wherever you at spread all over this world, we need to turn ourselves and pray toward Yerushalayim, the Southern Hemisphere. That's how important it is for us. If it wasn't important, Solomon wouldn't have said it. He would have just said, pray for wherever they at. Just pray. You could face DC, You could face California. You could face Texas, Canada. You could face Rome for all we know. It don't matter. But obviously the wisest king telling us to turn our attention towards the land. Daniel 6, 7 through 10. And we all know where Daniel was in service to the Persians, that they had to write a petition if they wanted to honor their God. So all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any Eloah or man for 30 days, save of you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medii and Persians, which alters not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Elohim as he did aforetime. Why didn't Daniel face Asia? Why didn't Daniel face Europe? Why didn't Daniel face Egypt? Why did he face in his own house in captivity Jerusalem? Because that backs up what Solomon said in Kings. So there must be importance in the location of this land. So we got the wisest man and the bravest man being thrown in the den of lions, being able to discern dreams and messages from the Most High himself. Why? And of all the people, are we listening to the people we listen to about calendars, about lands? Why? We come into a point in this awakening that we really need to step up, especially when it comes to our knowledge and how we are leading others who are desiring to follow the way. People care too much about their following. People care too much about their social standing. People care too much about their image because they don't want to be wrong or look that they're doing something wrong. And I'm telling you that it's wrong. I'm not coming into this for my own selfish desires. I'm not making any of this up. I'm using the scriptures that the Most High has exposed to me that his land is very important to us, especially when we are carried away captives. Just like they were carried away captive to Persia or Babylon or to the Grecians and to America and all the four directions of this world. It is important that we know where this location of the land is. Even Paul in Acts 18, 19 to 21, and he came to Ephesus. You know where Ephesus is? It's up by, I think, on the right side of Italy, Rome. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Yehudim. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if Elohim will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Acts 20, verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of the feast of Shavuot. Why didn't Paul just stay in Ephesus? Why didn't he just go to Asia and do it? He could have done Feast of Shavuot where he was at. If you understand that Paul at that time was in the northern hemisphere, literally almost at the top of the world. He sailed to go all the way to the bottom of South Africa just for one feast. He said it was a must for him to keep this feast that comes in Yerushalayim. This is Paul saying, it is important for me to be in my land for Yah's feast. The only thing that handicaps us is that we don't have Yerushalayim resurrected where we can get on a plane and fly for the Feast of Shavuot or Pesach or Sukkot. We are cut off from it right now. So we have to do it here. But I'm willing to bet you, if this was ancient days and we were about to leave America, we would have to go all the way over there to our lands to keep the feast. But these are men, apostles, kings, prophets. Are you more important than they? Are you more high and mighty than they? You so high-minded that you could just make up your own way? Do what you want to do? The bar has already been set. We should be trying to chase that bar, even if it's impossible to reach, even if we fall short. The whole point of this walk is the Most High will nurture us because we know we're trying to reach heaven with Him. You think everybody's doing this? They're not. That's why Yahushua said, the narrow path is so hard to find. And people barely get to understand what being on this narrow path means. And then I saw in the comment section, a couple of brothers were talking about the blood moon. And how they started their Passover, their Pesach, during the blood moon. And I just happened to just search blood moon. And it led me to Revelation 6, 12 and 13. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And I was like, where are figs exclusive to? And I'm pretty sure you can get figs all around this world. But I stumbled upon a unique fig, one of the oldest in South Africa, known for its large pear-shaped fruits with purple-green skin and deep red flesh. And it's also known for its large lobed leaves. You know what this particular fig is called? The Adam and Eve figs. Look it up. AI will give you a brief overview. It's called the Adam and Eve figs. Found in South Africa. It is the oldest particular type of fig. Again, the Most High is showing me that the biblical lands are in South Africa, that we should pray towards South Africa, that we should obey the seasons, or try at least to search out the seasons, to order our calendar so that it fits South Africa, Yerushalayim. And so many cowards don't think they need to do this. You ain't really chasing the Most High then. You're not. You could tell them whatever you want to tell on TikTok and all the other places that people stretch their mouths off at. But if you're not earnestly searching and seeking, which is like it says in Ezra, once you found him, seek him 10 times more. This is what we should be doing. I don't want to hear any nonsense about, well, I got to work, I got a 40-hour work week, the kids, the wife, the blah, 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 blah. We're all going through our own little situations. But at the end of the day, if your mind is not meditating on the words and the Ruach of Yahuwah, you're wasting time. You're wasting your time. Like it said in Corinthians, we are bought for a price. And like my mother used to always tell me growing up, we are on borrowed time. Now, this is not some work doctrine or legalism, as these ignorant Christians like to call it. This is about the love of the Heavenly Father. Timothy, 2 Timothy 15 and 16. Study to show yourself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more wickedness. And that's what I'm seeing brothers doing. Profane and vain babblings. Not backing up anything they're saying with scripture. Not pulling out the book of Enoch. Not pulling out the scriptures that talk about the land. Not dividing the word of truth. So I'm going to rest my case on this whole calendar business. I said my piece with it. After that, I'm just going to mock and laugh at y'all. Not particularly y'all that are listening to me, but anybody I see talking about something completely different, I'm just going to laugh. Because all the scriptures that have been pulled out for us to transform our Ruach into something better that serves the Father instead of serving ourselves. Everything else is a joke. It truly is. Brothers bouncing from this person to that person, that person to this person, this camp to that camp, this religion to that religion, that doctrine to that doctrine. It comes a time where you are embarrassed from bouncing around. That's what it was for me. I was embarrassed. I was shamed to be bouncing around two calendars and then with a high-minded exalting of myself, like, yo, this is right. And you know how I talk, like I talk now, like, yo, this is right. If you ain't on this page, like, And I did this by following somebody else, not really pulling out the scriptures for myself until I had to humble myself and apologize. And then the Most High say, here, I know what you're really trying to do. You're trying to seek me. So let me here call you to this marvelous light. But first, you have to crawl to me. It was only out of frustration. I said, you know what? I'm not doing another feast day or another Shabbat until you show me the proper way. I was like a little kid sitting on the ground with my hands crossed. Now you pull me. You do it. And he proved me. And he directed me. And this is how I started finding out about the maps. This is how I started finding about the land. This is why I started finding out certain scriptures that talk about the land. This is why I found out it was important to observe and acquire about the land and how the seasons and things change. And then the calendar, that was given to me because I first humbled myself before him. Even when he knew I was upset and was more ashamed than anything and frustrated. Because nobody wants to be wrong. No one wants to start over from scratch. But this is what this walk is about. We literally just woke up 5-6 years ago. It wasn't 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and we didn't grow up as Israelites. But the prophets, the kings, and the messengers and the apostles and scriptures, they grew up Israelites. I'm going to lean on them harder because they grew up with this. We didn't. So it's really no shame for anybody saying, hey, I was wrong. If anything, we should be protecting the word, not protecting ourselves. We should not be complacent with the truth. We should not be cowards of it. That helps nobody. Because eventually, down the line, the Most High will find out. And then he will deal with you. You might as well, like when brothers bring out new information, you might as well start learning how to dig through it, pour through it, divide it. Because when you start shunning and walking away from the truth, the Most High will then turn his attention to you and humble you himself. And it's a different feeling to be humbled by the Most High. Because you know you ain't going to talk back. You know you ain't going to grab that belt like you used to grab your belt when your mama or your papa was spanking you. You know you ain't going to backslide because you know exactly where that's going to lead you. So you nothing but stuck. I've seen so many people in this truth that had pages and their pages get struck, where they're not being able to post or say anything about the truth because they couldn't turn from their own haughtiness, their own arrogance. Other than that, as the world turns, when you look at the government, you just laugh at it, at what a joke this country is and what a joke this world is. They're trying to antagonize Negroes in this country by trying to remove history. It is not even black history. It's history of Deuteronomy. We were cursed to serve our enemies. So who cares if they remove the Tuskegee Airmen? Who cares if they remove the first recipient of the Medal of Honor that came out of the Glory Regiment, the 54th Massachusetts Regiment? Who cares? It's already been done. We already seen the history. We already seen the movie. We can't erase this from our minds. But they want to antagonize the Negro by trying to erase history as if, oh, we're going back to segregation. We're not going nowhere. In actuality, segregation would be good for us. It's mentioned in Ezra that we should separate from the heathen, separate from their strange women. Some of you brothers have a hard time doing that, separating yourself from strange women. Even when the Most High has said, do not give your sons or your daughters because they will not allow you to follow me. That was the main purpose. People, oh, they don't like interracial relationships. No, because he knew we were stiff-necked and susceptible to doctrines. And as you can see from David, as you can see from Solomon, you can see we have problems following after women. You can go all the way through to Adam, that we have problems listening to women that would lead us down the wrong path, that would entice us to sin or entice us to hate our Yahuwah. That is the main reason why he didn't want us mingling with other nations. Now, I know y'all, some of y'all in love and married, and there's really no option for you, but, you know, for the Most High to either humble you or exalt you because you're doing the right thing. But like I said before, you know, Bathsheba was with Uriah and he was a Hittite. So it was allowed for her to be with Uriah. Same thing with Ruth. Ruth was allowed to be with Boaz through a kinsman that when she was in the land of Moabite, she was already married to an Israelite. And then, of course, like I said, in the law, the next of kin fell to Boaz. But it was allowed because she showed that she wanted to follow the way. Same thing with Yosef when he married Aseneth. Yosef couldn't stand the Egyptians. He wouldn't even eat with them. Aseneth had to humble herself. That means she had to throw away all her idols. She had to wear a sackcloth for a time. She threw dirt on her head. She cried continuously until an angel stepped in and said, we know what you're doing. Your name is already written in the heavenly tablets. You are going to marry Yosef. And here we are with Ephraim being part of the 12 tribes. So like I said, it was allowed, but this is only by the Most High's hand. That was then, this is now. And the Most High does not change. So we aren't consumed. That works multiple ways. That's so our bloodline isn't consumed, because we're supposed to be already wiped out. If this hadn't been prophecy or hadn't been the Most High's inheritance, we would have been wiped out as a people. Our shade would have been completely different. The Most High had to step in and cleanse most of our blood because it was infected by these other nations that pillaged and raped us. We would have been completely destroyed if we let the Gentiles and the heathens have their way. But hey, like I said, this world is becoming a joke more and more. And you know what's even more a joke? And it's watching old millennial entertainers do concerts and upset that people are not showing the same energy when they used to perform. It's hilarious. Omarion at his concert telling people to get up, get the F up. This is a concert. Even people's energy for concerts is dying off. That low frequency is exhausting now. People in their 30s and their 20s, they're not doing concerts, they're not doing festivals, they're not doing the rah-rah-rah anymore. You got to be completely lacking of faith in a Ruach to continue to still be in those spaces. Entertaining yourself, debauchery, defiling yourself. Like, you literally are primed for the tares and be thrown into the fire. But those who are not understanding that there is another place outside of where they're at, they don't understand it. So they go into these spaces tired, sleepy, draining them. And they have not come to the knowledge of the truth. Like, look, this is not for me anymore. I was talking to my homeboy in Ohio, and he was saying that he was trying to get drunk, and he was trying to drink and have a good time with his boy, and he just couldn't. He said the taste is different. It ain't hitting the same. And he knew that if he forced it, he would have been sick of alcohol. He's at the point where he's just giving up alcohol now. And I didn't want to kind of tell my boy, like, yo, you about to be called, because I want him to walk into it himself. He's going through a process right now that he just want to be in the house, even though he's playing video games in his spare time. But this is the step. This is the step we all took, that we didn't want to be in public. So we isolate ourselves and we try to, you know, entertain ourselves with stuff that we know. And this usually either sports, board games, or video games. So right now he's going through his process. He's giving up liquor only because it's not hitting the same. It come a time when your liver will tell you, like, look, we done. We done, chief. We can't do no more Patron shots. We can't do no more Grand Marnier. We can't do another round of tequila. And you'll feel it too. Those of you who are still teetering on alcohol or drugs or smoking weed, eventually it'll hit you. Because the last blunt you smoke, you won't get high. You'll feel it. The more you get into this truth, the high don't even feel the same. You start now worrying about, damn, I'm still doing this, and the Most High sees me. Damn, I'm reading the word and I'm trying to be buzzed. Trust me, it's a process. And the more you try to force it and say, you know what, maybe it's not this particular type of weed, or maybe it's not this particular type of beer, maybe it's not this particular type of vodka, I just need to switch it up. And when you start doing that, that's when you get alcohol poisoning. That's why you end up smoking that poor Delta weed, that Delta THC that was leaving people slumped over. Then that's when you start trying to chase it. Then you come up on judgment where the Most High say, you know what, I'm going to give you to a reprobate mind and allow you to keep smoking all different types of strands of weed, and then end up locking up your bowels or locking up your system. And you're worse off than you were before. Trust me, it's a process. It's a process you shouldn't have to want to go through. You should know in your ruach and in your body that it's time to shut it down. Especially when it comes to anger. And no one talks about this, especially when it comes to anger. That some of you are like one temper or one tantrum from swinging your fist or punching the wall or hurting yourself. Even anger, and even that emotion has run its course. It will run its course. With me, I knew it ran a course. When out of nowhere, I think it was a couple of years, I was like four years ago. This is before I started talking to my family. My mother was there visiting me, helping me. And I just, whatever we were talking about, I just stood up and punched the wall. Upset and mad. So bad that it pushed my knuckle back. But I didn't even realize it. I just pushed it back and I was like, because my mind was so enraged and I didn't feel anything. That's when I, at the first time I saw fear in my mother's eyes when it came to her son, because she didn't know if she was even safe to be around me. That's when I was like, you know what? I need to step away. I need to find out what's really wrong. I need to get to the bottom of why I act like this, why I tear off so quickly. You got to have one of those moments, that moment of clarity. You're like, I can't keep doing this. I don't have the energy to keep doing this. And every time you spend energy in these temper tantrums or in rage or in anger, it exhausts you. And it only takes one instant of one text, one phone call, one push, one nudge, somebody to set you off, and then you just go into a blind rage. That should scare you. That should scare you enough to stop that particular type of emotion. And I get it. Y'all around people who are completely delusional. Cognitive dissonance. I get it. They make you want to do it. But this is the whole point of separating yourself and isolating yourself. And the Most High will do this for you. You think people are just walking away from you because you're weird. Well, it may be, but it's for a good reason. Because the Most High is alerting you to what could be your possible last trigger. So take it in stride. It's supposed to be this way. It's to save you in order for you to transform and renew your mind. So then when you completely come into a clear headspace, even if you have to be around certain people, you won't even bat an eyelash. You won't even show any emotion because you're dead to this world. The more you into this ruach, more you into this word, more you into this walk, you start being dead to people. And they just can't get the same type of rising out of you like they used to. And that's what they're waiting on. They want the old you. They want you to show them that you aren't really changed, that you are not walking with Yah. That's the test. I've been on similar tests. I've failed some tests. I've been around old friends and then got caught drinking. And then, you know, they said something slick and I just start yelling and going off. Like, it has happened. I've succeeded and I failed in that approach. But now I'm at a spot and I'm at a space where I don't even see or be around these type of people anymore. And even if I am out of nowhere or just dumb luck, I know when to get up and walk away because I know exactly where it's going to go. That's the beauty of this whole thing. This is the reason why we do this walk. Because it's not necessarily for Yah's, you know, his main mission is for us to work through our vices and our emotions and all that. But it is a purpose that he's given us for us to make a decision where we want to go and where we want to be in this walk. We can go over and over again about many are called, but few are chosen. But that has not been more realer than this generation coming. And if you have not decided for yourself to fix certain things, you are going to be a danger to anybody else that's searching or trying to cleave to you for understanding headship and compassion and all the things that the Most High talks about, or Paul talks about, when it comes to Yahushua HaMashiach and serving in the Ruach. It's important. Another thing is, before I clock out, is this whole thing with relationships. I've seen so many women talk about going to these, I don't know if they call them stag parties, but it'd be like those blind date parties, those little dating parties where you get single women and single men, you bring them to a restaurant, to a bar, like speed dating. And women are complaining about it's only women at these speed dating extravaganzas. That even when brothers are there, they're not even paying attention to the sisters. And then I read comments on TikTok like, yeah, they wanted the bear, or, you know, they wanted to be Little Miss Independent. Men don't care no more. And you know what a lot of that has to do with that no one's talking about? It has to deal with that men aren't willing to be patient. Women want men to be a finished product, and men aren't willing to work through women's issues. And men also, who are not talking about it, they want women to be a finished product too, emotionally. Women want men to be a finished product in a social standing and a financial security way, which I could understand. And then men want women to be emotionally stable or healed when they get them. And that's not, I'm telling you, it ain't gonna ever happen. It's very few that people have been blessed to go through that. But I'm telling you, for those who used to be bad boys, used to be womanizers, used to be a menace in the streets and menace with women, you are going to be given exactly what you used to do. And so you have to work through it. Don't think the Most High gonna bless you, or some of you may have been lucky to be blessed, but don't think the Most High is gonna just bless you with a finished product. Especially when you was out there being a menace to other women or a menace to other men. You're gonna get exactly what you deserve, and you have to show patience. So I wish a lot of brothers would stop talking about, oh, you know, you want to be single and independent. Like, oh, we try to tell y'all, like, oh, Kevin Samuels this and Kevin Samuels that. It shouldn't even be that way. You should start understanding that this is where we are as a people. I'm not talking just about black people, everybody. That we are trying to work and walk through a narrow path. So a lot of people aren't on this narrow path. How can they find this narrow path if we don't show them, those who are in it for a longer period of time? What do you think? You're just going to grab them by the hand, pull them through the doorway, and they're going to, you know, follow you through? No, sometimes they're going to go through it kicking and screaming, because it's their natural reaction to being in this world for too long. I really wish we gave each other more compassion and patience. And I understood it, even my situation. I understand it more now. But it helps you as a man, as a woman. It helps you purge out things you didn't know were there. It's so easy to just go to war with anything and everything. It's easy to do that. It's easy to isolate yourself. It's easy to do your own way. Even if you're worshiping and praising Yahuwah and doing all that he wants you to do, it's so easy to just caught up in just being one-minded. But we are all called to be partners with each other, to be of as one body. And if we can't take care of each member or each limb or each ligament or each part of the body, then we're walking solo. We're walking without a purpose. We're only doing things because scripture says do them. That we're not truly learning and changing ourselves. This is why the Most High puts us in these situations with certain people. So that we can change, and so it betters us when we start to teach or when we start to reach others. We are relatable to other people through these type of hardships. But I don't see many people talking about that. This whole thing of men cowering because they want women to be finished. They want women to be healed. If you see what this world is and what it does, like, it goes after women in particularly because women are mostly insecure, and this system feeds off of that. And the only way they can know and show and be shown where all the like-minded men, where are the men trying to lead, is that we create a space for that. That's why I really can't stand when people laugh and joke and make satirical comments in the comment section when regarding the truth. It really ain't that funny. People be working out their SNL comedy bits and skits on truth, on things that aren't really funny, even if we're talking about celebrities or sex trafficking, human trafficking, or Satanism. This stuff don't be funny, really. You know, children get hurt behind this. Women get hurt behind this. People die behind this type of, or these type of rituals. But we find a way to make everything funny. And I'm talking to the men especially. What's funny? That whole thing of women love it when we make them laugh, man, that nonsense is out the window. Women are in those comments trying to find like-minded men to find where the safe space or where are the men at that are trying to lead. And I'm talking to you single brothers. Women are only looking for what they see with their eyes. They don't see, 100 yards down the football field. They see 5 yards at a time. So if they go to a page where it's some truth being spoken, they go to the comment sections to see what type of man am I really looking for that's in this particular type of space. If they go to the comment section and see nobody but brothers talking about joking and laughing and emojiing, and they're like, it's just clowns over here. I might as well just stay back from where I was at. Because there's clowns over there too. We are supposed to create spaces that women see the transition of the man going upward to Yah. Not to be stand-up comedians. If we show them this, I'm telling you, the perception of men would change. There are already enough clowns. There are enough comics. There are enough skit writers. There is enough Saturday Night Live to last us forever. We don't need any more ha-has and jokey jokes. We need to start showing our women that we are serious about this truth. We are serious about this walk. Even if we, disagree, we need to show them that we are learning compassion, that we are learning forgiveness and patience. Because then they see that. It was like, okay, this is where there are. This is where there are. I won't give up hope. Because it's more women on TikTok and on social media complaining about what men ain't doing no more. And they don't realize there's a tiny community. Small community. It's rising. It's a small community of righteous men doing it the right way that are also single. But they don't know how to find them. They're going to the same channels that they've been finding these dates and then finding these men. And we cloud that understanding, we cloud that perception by turning everything to comedy. So that goes back to the very first thing I said. When it comes to leaving this world behind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. I don't see anybody in scripture, or I've known anybody in scriptures that was with the jokes and with the ha-has. Nobody out there pranking and doing skits in scripture. Everybody was serious because the word of Yah was serious. We turn everything now into jokes, to comedy. Because we feel like we can't change anything. Like, oh, we can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about them trafficking. We can't do anything about them doing these Masonic rituals where people end up being maimed or killed or sacrificed. We can't do nothing about it, so just laugh. No, we expose it and we shame them. We expose it and shame them. That's why I go hard body at these Boule Greek pastors. I can't stand them. Because they're clowns to me. All that shucking and jiving that they do, they make us look bad. Just like Kanye, he makes us look bad. It only takes one. You know, it's funny because when white folk do something, it's like, oh, okay. But when anytime one of us do something, it reflects poorly on all of us. Everybody thinks we're like this. It only takes one Sexy Red, one Cardi B, one Kanye West to disrupt it all for one race of people. That's just what, because deep down, subconsciously, they know we're supposed to be higher. They know we are supposed to be the people of Scripture. They know it. They may not say it, they may not understand it, but they know that. When they look at us doing foolishness, they are disgusted only because they know in their heart, in their back of their minds, that we are supposed to be exalted in a certain space that is supposed to be about righteousness. I'm pretty sure they know exactly who we are. It just trickles down quietly of who we truly are. But we give them one example and it ruins it for the rest of us. They really want you to believe that this dude got a swastika chain. For what reason? To do what with it? I mean, it ain't like brothers is just, oh, I'm gonna follow Kanye right into this fascism. I'm gonna follow him right into Hitler. Nobody's doing that. No one's really paying attention. Like, none of us are, but it's just comical that this is where we are right now. People who started off being really very smart musically to now just being sideshow acts. And it's funny that you couldn't talk about or post the KKK. You couldn't talk about anti-Semitism, but yet I've seen that chain all over Instagram. No one has taken it down. He hasn't even had his page taken down. So it shows you who's working with who. If they was really serious about anti-Semitism, Kanye would already have lost his life or lost his privileges to social media. So they want this to continue. They have already signed laws. They got the ADL about anti-Semitism, and yet they have done nothing because of freedom of speech. And this is what they're really going after. After a while, when they put together a couple of more rituals of anti-Semitic crimes and blah, 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 they are going to strip freedom of speech because of that. This freedom of speech is going to be because of anti-Semitism. Martin Luther King is going to be the new LGBTQ savior. This is why they already getting ready to roll out in 2027 the whole FBI wiretapes and all that. They're gonna bring up something homosexual. They're gonna bring up all the stuff that he used to do. So then, conservative, old school black Negro Christians could be like, we're not doing Martin Luther King ain't our guy no more. They want that. They want to destroy his image. Because you know what's coming is anti-Semitism being protect being the Civil Rights Act, and of course trans and then pedophiles and all that that's coming with it. And you know who's in charge of that. So they have to push, this particular type of doctrine so they can steal what was intended in the Civil Rights Act. It wasn't really for Negroes. We would have been better off segregated. But this was done. So they knew ahead of time, they knew then that eventually gays will fall under the Civil Rights Act, transgenders will fall under the Civil Rights Act, pedophiles will fall under the Civil Rights Act. And they'll wrap it all up with a pretty little pink bow with anti-Semitism. So can't nobody say nothing, do nothing. And it's already talked about in Scripture. It says the wise would be quiet And those who know, most of all, will remain silent. That tells me that they're going to take away a lot of what people can say and can't say. But after a while, you wouldn't want to say nothing anyway. You just want to get a front row seat, get your popcorn ready, get your mimosa or your wine, your manischewitz or what have you, your bourbon, your whiskey, and just sit there and laugh and not want to say anything. And just let whatever's going to happen, happen to people, because they've already been put on notice. Noah told them 125 years of what was coming. We're not getting 125 years. We already on notice. And people think it's just going to be one big event that's really going to do it for us. But no, it's smaller events on top of each other. They've just been stacking like a pyramid. They've just been stacking the whole time. And then people forget about one little ritual and move on. And then they do another ritual. They forget about that and they move on. But they keep stacking. It's not going to be just one big thing. It's just a stacking event. So by the time you get ready to even remember that they did this last thing or this last doctrine or this last ritual, you already moved on to something else. It's almost like they're mimicking exactly what the Most High is going to do. He's just waiting. He letting y'all stack up Babylon. And then once it's completed, y'all think all troubles are going to be wiped away. And that's when he says, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. He's not coming where everybody's going to be looking for him. They not going to be coming. And Yahushua's not going to be coming where everybody's be looking for him because of chaos. It coming when everything is quiet, calm, cool, collected. And then it's going to come out of nowhere. That is the power that the Most High is going to have. So you might as well, you know, find a way to build up your hedge when that day comes. Because we should also be stacking our faith. We should also be in obedience to the Most High through everything. So by the time it gets to where it's getting, like he says, in the day of Yahuwah, the wrath of Yahuwah, the remnant that he's called the remnant. Anybody who will call on his name shall be saved. And this is to the remnant. Those who are serving Yah in truth, not just talking, but in truth, serving actions in his name. I'll see y'all Sunday.